burglary. BBC News.
And now, the second and final part of our classic serial. In the austerity of the early 1950s, Jeeves is assisting his new master, Bill Roaster, to sell his country seat. Will wealthy American widow Rosie Spotsworth buy it? And has White Hunter, Captain Bigger, on the trail of a bookie who conned him at Epsom Races, unmasked the culprit?
Ring for Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse, dramatised by Archie Scottney, starring Joanne Whalley, Rufus Sewell, Glenn Headley and Ian Ogilvie, with Jamie Bamber as Lord Roaster and Martin Jarvis as Jeeves.
So?
So?
Your brandy, my lord.
Thanks, Jeeves. So, what? I say, where have they all gone? Oh, you stay, Jeeves.
Yes, certainly, my lord.
So, Lord Roaster, you are honest Patch Perkins.
Am I?
Isn't this your eye patch? Isn't that your confounded ginger moustache? And do you think I didn't recognise that coat and tie?
Captain Bigger, I owe you an explanation.
You owe me £3,005, 2 and 6.
Forgive me, Captain Bigger, but his lordship arrived on Epsom Downs this afternoon with the best intentions. He could hardly have been expected to foresee that two such meagerly favoured animals as Lucy Glitters in the 2:30 and Whistler's Mother in the Oaks would have emerged triumphant. His lordship is not clairvoyant.
He could have laid the bets off.
In fact, I urged his lordship to do so, but...
You?
I was officiating as his lordship's clerk.
What? You weren't the chap in the pink moustache?
I would describe it as russet rather than pink, sir.
So when he goes to prison, you'll go with him?
Jeeves.
All right, let's get down to it. Properly speaking, I ought to charge this gumboil for...
The name is Lord Roaster,
no,
sir.
It's not. It's Patch Perkins. I ought to charge you, Perkins, you slinking reptile, for petrol, car repairs and 2 beers at the Goose and Gherkin. I'm no hog. I'll settle for £3,005, 2 and 6. Write me a cheque.
How can I write you a cheque?
You have a pen, have you not?
What his lordship is striving to express, sir, is that such a cheque would not be honoured.
Exactly. It would bounce like a dervish. I haven't a bean.
You mean you own a place like this and can't write a cheque for £3,000?
A house such as Roaster Abbey, sir, in these days, is a liability. Socialistic legislation has sadly depleted the resources of England's hereditary aristocracy. We are living now in what is known as the welfare state, which means, broadly, that everybody is completely destitute.
I must have the money, and before noon tomorrow. Listen, I'll let you in on something. And if you breathe a word to a soul, I'll rip you both asunder with my bare hands. Is that understood?
Most straightforward, my lord.
Carry on, Captain.
Well, you remember that telephone call I made after dinner? It was to those pals of mine, the chaps who gave me my winning double this afternoon. I was anxious to know if it was all settled. We have an enterprise of...
Great pith and moment, sir.
Right. These chaps have a big SP job on for the Derby tomorrow. It's the biggest cert in the history of the race, the Irish horse Ballymore.
Well, not generally fancied, sir.
Well, Lucy Glitters and Whistler's mother weren't generally fancied, were they? Ballymore's a long-priced outsider. He's been kept darker than a black cat on a moonless night, but he's had 2 secret gallops over the Epsom course and broken the record both times.
You're sure of that?
I've watched the animal run with my own eyes, and all you see is a sort of brown blur. We're putting our money on at the last moment, carefully distributed among a dozen different bookies, and now you're telling me I shan't have any money to put on.
Look here, old chap. Your agony touches me, and while I don't think we could ever form one of those beautiful friendships that existed between David and Jonathan or Swan and Edgar, I can sympathise with your anguish. But I'm afraid the best I can manage is a series of monthly payments starting, say, about 6 weeks from now.
That won't do me any good.
But nor me. It'll knock the stuffing out of my budget. Farewell, a long farewell to what, Jeeves?
To all your greatness, my lord. This is the state of man. Today he puts forth the tender leaves of hope. Tomorrow blossoms.
Thank you, Jeeves.
Yeah, not at all, my lord.
To start with, you'll have to go, you know. I can't possibly pay your salary.
I should be delighted to serve your lordship without emolument.
That's dashed good of you, Jeeves, but how can I keep you in fish?
Yeah, I've got to have that money. Why can't he borrow it?
Who from? It can't be done. I'm sorry.
You'll be sorrier when you and this precious clerk of yours are standing in the dock at the Old Bailey.
Oh, dash it. One doesn't want unpleasantness.
What one wants and what one is going to get are 2 different things. Out of my way. I want some air.
We're in the soup, Jeeves. He wants his pound of flesh.
Yes, my lord.
And we haven't any flesh.
No, my lord.
He's a tough egg, that Bigger. Did you notice the way he tucked into the roast duck at dinner?
a man without ruth or pity.
Unquestionably lacking in the softer emotions, m'lord.
There's a word that just describes him. It begins with a V. Not vapid, not vermicelli. Vindictive. The chap's vindictive. What good will it do him to ruin me?
Well, no doubt he will derive a certain moody satisfaction from it, m'lord.
I suppose there is really nobody one could borrow a bit of cash from. How about that financier fellow who lives out Ditchingham way, so somebody something?
Sir Oscar Whopple, m'lord. He shot himself last Friday.
Oh, then we won't bother him.
It occurred to me, m'lord, that were we to possess ourselves of Captain Bigger's ticket...
Ticket? What ticket? You speak as if this were a railway station.
The ticket which I handed to the gentleman as a record of his wager on Lucy Glitters and Whistler's mother, m'lord.
Oh, you mean his ticket?
Precisely, m'lord. It must still be on his person. It is the only evidence of the wager. Once we had deprived him of it, your lordship would be in a position to make payment at your lordship's leisure.
I see. So we get the ticket from him, do we?
Yes, my lord.
May I say one word, Jeeves?
Oh, certainly, my lord.
How?
By what I might describe as direct action, my lord.
Scrag him? Choke it out of him?
Your lordship has interpreted my meaning exactly.
But, Jeeves, have you seen him? That bulging chest, those rippling muscles.
I agree that Captain Bigger is well nourished, my lord. But we would have the advantage of surprise. He has gone out into the garden. When he returns, one may assume that it will be by way of the French window. If I draw the curtains, it will be necessary for him to enter through them. We will see him fumbling, and in that moment a sharp tug will cause the curtains to descend, enmeshing him, as it were.
By Jove, Jeeves! You think it would work?
Unquestionably, my lord. The method is that of the Roman retiarius, with whose technique your lordship is no doubt familiar.
Oh, the bird who fought with net and trident!
Yeah, precisely, my lord. So, if your lordship approves...
You bet I approve.
Then, excuse me, lord, I will draw the curtains so... And so... And we will take up our stations... On either side of them.
It's in the bag, Jeeves. And if he yells, we will stifle his cries with the, what do you call this stuff?
Velour, my lord.
We will stifle his cries with the velour, and while he's grovelling on the ground, I shall get a chance to give him a good kick in the tailpiece.
There is that added attraction, my lord.
Right. This is rather like waiting for 0 hour, isn't it?
The sensation is not dissimilar, my lord.
Should be coming soon.
Yes, m'lord.
On your toes, Jeeves.
Yes, m'lord.
All set?
Yes, m'lord.
Hey! I want another word with you two.
What? Jeeves, what?
Indeed, m'lord, it is disconcerting when you are expecting a man from the northeast to have him suddenly bark at you from the southwest.
Especially if he does so in a manner that recalls feeding time in a dog hospital.
Shut up and listen! Right, I've got it all taped out now. Came to me quick as a flash. I said to myself, the pendant.
The pendant?
Mrs. Spotsworth is wearing a diamond pendant, my lord. It is to this, no doubt, that the gentleman alludes.
But why does he allude to it, Jeeves?
That one is disposed to imagine, my lord. One will ascertain when the gentleman has resumed his remarks.
Well, if you say so. But it seems a... What's the expression you're always using?
Remote contingency, my lord.
That's right, it seems a very remote contingency.
If you have quite finished babbling, Patrosta...
Was I babbling?
Certainly you were babbling. You were babbling like a... Well, whatever the dash things are that babble.
The Brooks are sometimes described as doing so, sir. In his widely read poem of that name, the late Lord Tennyson writes, O Brook, O Babbling Brook, and later describes the rivulet speaking in its own person... I chatter over stony ways in little sharps and trebles. I bubble into eddying bays. I babble on the pebbles.
Up, come over the late Lord Tennyson. What I'm interested in is the pendant.
Are you going to explain?
I am. It's worth close on 3,000 quid. And you are going to pinch it, Pat Roaster.
Pinch it?
This very night.
What? Are you seriously suggesting that I rob one of my guests?
Well, I'm one of your guests. You robbed me.
Only temporarily.
You'll be robbing Mrs. Spotsworth only temporarily. I shouldn't have used the word pinch. All I want you to do is borrow that pendant till tomorrow afternoon when it will be returned.
Jeeves, can you make any sense of what this rhinoceros biffer is saying?
Yes, my lord. Captain Bigger is urgently in need of money with which to back the horse Ballymore in tomorrow's derby, and his proposal is that the pendant shall be abstracted and pawned and the proceeds employed for that purpose. Sir?
Correct.
At the conclusion of the race, one presumes, the object in question would be redeemed, brought back to the house, discovered, possibly by myself, in some spot where the lady might be supposed to have dropped it, and duly returned to her. Do I err in advancing this theory, sir?
You do not.
Could one be certain beyond doubt, sir, that Ballymore will win?
He'll win, all right. I told you, he's twice broken the course record.
Then I must confess, my lord, I see little or no objection to the scheme.
I still call it stealing.
It's not, and I'll tell you why. In a way, you might say that that pendant was really mine.
Really? What was that last word?
Mine. Yes, I actually won it. Do either of you chaps know the Long Bar in Shanghai? No? Well, I got into a little gambling game there one time, and I won it. A chap called Bimbo Sycamore couldn't pay up, so he handed over his wife's pendant. It was the pendant which you've seen tonight on the neck. The Suzuri Gari neck. On the beautiful neck of Mrs. Spotsworth.
But how did Mrs. Spotsworth get it?
I gave it her.
You gave it her?
I'd received many kindnesses from Mrs. Spotsworth and her husband. Poor chap was killed by a lion on safari, and what was left of him was shipped off to Nairobi. When Mrs. Spotsworth was leaving our camp, I thought it'd be a civil thing to give her something as a memento. So I lugged out the pendant, asked her if she'd care to have it. She said she would, so I slipped it to her. That's what I meant when I said the bally thing was really mine.
Well, this puts a different complexion on things, Jeeves.
Distinctly, m'lord.
After all, he merely wants to borrow it for an hour or two.
Precisely, m'lord.
All right, Captain, I'll have a shot.
Stout fellow.
Let's hope it comes off.
It'll come off all right. The clasp is loose.
I meant I hope nothing would go wrong.
Go wrong? What can possibly go wrong? You'll be able to think of 100 ways of getting the dash thing. Two brainy fellows like you. Well, I'm going to do my exercises. Yoga. And with it, of course, communion with the Jivatma.
Jivatma?
His soul, my lord.
Ah. The room seems very still, Jeeves. As rooms tend to when Captain Bigger goes out of them.
Indeed, my lord.
So, let us review the position of affairs. The task confronting me is somehow to detach the pendant from Mrs. Spotsworth and nip away with it unobserved. Any suggestions?
I would be inclined to say, my lord, that the best results would probably be obtained from what I might term the spider sequence.
I don't get you, Jeeves.
If I might explain, my lord. Your lordship will be joining the lady in the garden?
Probably on a rustic seat.
If shortly after entering into conversation with Mrs. Spotsworth, your lordship were to affect to observe a spider on her hair, the spider sequence would follow as doth the night the day. It would be natural for your lordship to offer to brush the insect off. This would enable your lordship to operate with your lordship's fingers in the neighbourhood of the lady's neck. And if the clasp, as Captain Bigger assures us, is loose, it will be a simple matter to unfasten the pendant and cause it to fall to the ground. Do I make myself clear, my lord?
Yes, but wouldn't she pick it up?
No, my lord, because in actual fact it would be in your lordship's pocket. Your lordship would institute a search in the surrounding grass, but without avail, and the object would finally be discovered late tomorrow evening.
After Bigger gets back?
Precisely, my lord.
Nestling under a bush?
Or on the turf, some little distance away. It had rolled.
Do pendants roll?
This pendant would have done so, my lord.
Not a bad scheme at all.
And if your lordship is experiencing any uneasiness at the thought of opening cold, as the theatrical expression is, I would suggest our having a quick run-through.
A rehearsal, you mean?
Precisely, my lord. A rustic seat, your lordship said.
That's where she was last time.
Scene, a rustic seat. Time, a night in summer. Discovered at rise, Mrs. Spotsworth. Enter, Lord Rooster. I will portray Mrs. Spotsworth, my lord. We open with a few lines of dialogue to establish atmosphere, then bridge into the spider sequence. Your lordship speaks.
Tell me, Rosie, are you afraid of spiders?
Why does your lordship ask?
There's rather an outsized specimen crawling on the back of your hair. What on earth did you do that for?
Merely to add verisimilitude, my lord. Oh. I supposed that that was how the lady would be inclined to react on receipt of such a piece of information. If your lordship would be good enough to throw me the line once more.
There's rather an outsized specimen crawling on the back of your hair.
I would be grateful if your lordship would be so kind as to knock it off.
I can't see it now. Ah, there it goes, on your neck.
And that is the cue for business, my lord. Your lordship will admit that it is really quite simple.
I suppose it is, but I'm still nervous.
Inevitable on the eve of an opening performance, my lord. Now, I think your lordship should be starting as soon as possible. Our arrangements have been made with a view to a garden set, and it would be disconcerting were Mrs. Spotsworth to return to the house compelling your lordship to adapt your technique to an interior.
I see what you mean. Righto, Jeeves. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my lord.
If anything goes wrong, you'll write to me in Dartmoor occasionally, Jeeves. Just a chatty letter from time to time giving me the latest news from the outer world.
Certainly, my lord.
Still, we hope it won't come to that.
Yes, my lord.
Yes. Well, goodbye once again, Jeeves.
Goodbye, my lord.
It is a far, far better thing.
Oh, Jeeves, have you seen Lord Roaster?
His lordship stepped into the garden a few minutes ago, miss.
Where are the others?
Sir Roderick and her ladyship are still in the library, miss.
And Mrs. Spotsworth?
She stepped into the garden shortly before his lordship.
Oh, did she? I see. Thank you, Jeeves. Right. I'm thinking the worst, you know.
Hail, hands I loved, beside the Shalimar. Where are you now, who lies beneath a yara spell? Jambo, Jeeves. When it's time for action, you'll always catch a white hunter at his best. Where's Patch Roaster?
His lordship is in the garden, sir.
With Mrs. Spotsworth?
Yes, sir, putting his fate to the test.
You thought of something, then?
Yes, sir, the spider sequence.
Spider sequence, eh? Something tells me you do well out east, my man.
Thank you, sir.
Just the sort of fellow we want in Kuala Lumpur. Chap who can use his brains. Let me tell you of something that happened to Tubby and me one day when
Jeeves?
My lord?
Well?
Jeeves, that spider sequence.
Yes, my lord?
I tried it.
Yes, my lord?
I detached the pendant.
Yes, my lord.
Captain Bigger was right. The clasp was loose. It came off.
A jabu bora! Give it here!
I haven't got it. It slipped out of my hand.
And fell?
And fell.
You mean it's lying in the grass?
No. It went down the front of Mrs. Spotsworth's dress. It's now somewhere in the recesses of her costume.
Most disturbing, my lord.
Custard jabu!
Yes. You don't happen to have any little-known Asiatic poison on you, do you, Jeeves?
No, my lord.
A pity. I could have used it.
Yaja winger! But wait a moment. Fricassee me with stewed mushrooms on the side. I've got it. I see what you must do.
Do? Me?
You can dance, can't you?
Dance?
Preferably the Charleston. That's all I'm asking of you. A few simple steps of the Charleston.
I don't believe this. Here I am, in the soup and going down for the third time, and you're inviting me to dance.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Painful as it'll be for me to observe, I am convinced that if Patch Roaster here were to dance the Charleston with Mrs. Spotsworth, we'd rout that pendant out before the band had played a dozen bars. We shall need music. Ah, gramophone in the corner. Excellent. Do you grasp the scheme?
Perfectly, sir. His lordship dances with Mrs. Spotsworth, and in due course the pendant droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath.
Exactly. What do you think?
What does your lordship think?
Eh? About what?
Captain Bigger's suggestion, my lord, is that if your lordship infuses sufficient vigour into the steps, it will result in the pendant becoming dislodged and falling to the ground, whence it can readily be recovered and placed in your lordship's pocket.
Oh. Brilliant! Lead me to her, and leave the rest to me.
It will not be necessary. She is nigh, my lord.
Oh, jolly good. Rosie, shall we dance?
Billikin, my God, you want to dance?
Yes, Rosie, with you. It'll be like the old days at Cannes.
Oh, how well I remember those days. Oh, hello again, Captain Bigger. Lord Roaster dances so wonderfully. I love dancing. The one unpunished rapture left on earth.
What ho! The old Charleston, do you remember it?
You bet I do.
Put a Charleston record on the gramophone, Jeeves.
Very good, my lord.
Excuse me.
Captain, where are you going? Wouldn't you like to see me dance the Charleston with Billikin?
Here we go, Rosie.
Take it away, Billikin.
Rosie.
Hakuna, Asante. I need some air. Asante.
I say, Rosie.
Good heavens.
The old boy cuts quite a rug, does he not? Come, girl, let us join the revels. The joy of the unconfined, what?
My goodness, Rosie.
What on earth?
Oh, Jill, come on. Won't you join the fun?
Come on, Jill.
Not likely. Bill's just a libertine. His correspondence course could be taken with advantage by Casanova. Good night.
When I dance, I don't know I've got feet.
If you don't
dance with Rory, you know. Ooh, it's the way he jumps on and off and gets you down. Ow! Ouch!
Oh, this is wonderful! Ouch! Oh, I've twisted something.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, gee. I hope it's just a twist and not my sciatica comeback. I suffer so terribly from sciatica, especially if I'm in a place that's at all damp.
Hello? What's this on the floor? Isn't this pendant yours, Mrs. Spotsworth?
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's mine. It must have... Ouch. Oh.
You must get straight to bed, Rosalinda.
Oh, I guess I should.
With a nice hot water bottle.
Yes.
Rory and I will help you upstairs.
Charm. Please take my arm, Mrs. Spotsworth.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry to break up the party.
Now,
Turn that bally music off, Jeeves.
Certainly, my lord.
Jeeves, we're sunk. She's gone to ground.
Yes, my lord.
Accompanied by the pendant. Any suggestions?
Not at the moment, my lord.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
No, my lord.
Go to bed, Jeeves, to try to sleep and forget. Not that I have the remotest chance of getting to sleep, with every nerve in my body sticking out a couple of inches and curling at the ends.
Possibly, if your lordship were to count sheep...
You think that would work?
It is a widely recognised specific, my lord.
Well, no harm trying it. Good night, Jeeves.
Good night, my lord.
822, 823, 800 and... What?
Your lordship will excuse me. I would not have disturbed your lordship had I not, listening at the door, gathered from your lordship's remarks that the stratagem for sleep which I proposed had proved unsuccessful.
No, it hasn't worked yet. But come in, Jeeves. I'm glad to see anything that's not a sheep. They've all got such vacuous expressions on their silly faces. I say, don't tell me you've thought of something.
Yes, my lord, I fancy I have found a solution.
Jeeves, you're a marvel.
Thank you, my lord.
So, what's the scheme?
Excuse me, my lord. I'm reluctant to take what is possibly a liberty on my part.
Carry on, Jeeves. What's biting you?
Your pyjamas, my lord. Had I been aware that your lordship was in the habit of sleeping in mauve pyjamas, I would have advised against it. Mauve does not become your lordship.
What? How have we got onto the subject of pyjamas?
They thrust themselves on the notice, my lord. That very aggressive chromism. If your lordship would substitute a quiet blue, or possibly a light pistachio green...
Jeeves, this is no time to be prattling of pyjamas.
Very good, my lord.
Anyway, I rather fancy myself in mauve. However, if you really have something to suggest that will bring home the bacon, you may take these mauve pyjamas, raise them to the ground, and sow salt on the foundations.
Thank you very much, my lord.
Now, what is this scheme of yours?
A quite simple one, my lord. Has it occurred to your lordship what is Mrs. Spotsworth's principal interest... The thing uppermost in the lady's mind?
The Charleston?
No, my lord. Psychical research. Since her arrival at the Abbey, she has not ceased to express a hope that she may be granted the experience of seeing the spectre of Lady Agatha.
No, Jeeves, I won't do it.
My lord?
I see where you're heading. You want me to dress up in a farthingale and wimple and sneak into Mrs. Spotsworth's room. And when she sees me, she'll say, "Ah, the ghost of Lady Agatha. It can't be done, Jeeves. Nothing will induce me to dress up in women's clothes."
Your lordship has not, if I may say so, grasped the substance of the plan. The essential at which one aims is the inducing of Mrs. Spotsworth to leave her room, thus rendering it possible for your lordship to enter and secure the pendant. I propose now, with your lordship's approval, to knock on Mrs. Spotsworth's door and request the loan of a bottle of smelling salts.
Eh?
Smelling salts, my lord. I would explain that I required them in order to restore your lordship to consciousness.
Restore me to consciousness?
Precisely, my lord. Your lordship has sustained a severe shock. Happening to be in the vicinity of the ruined chapel, your lordship observed the wraith of Lady Agatha and was much overcome. I found your lordship back in your own room in what appeared to be a coma, and immediately applied to Mrs. Spotsworth for the loan of her smelling salts.
But I still don't get the gist, Jeeves.
The thought I had in mind was that learning that Lady Agatha was, if I may so term it, on the wing, Mrs. Spotsworth's immediate reaction would be an intense desire to hasten to the ruined chapel in order to observe the manifestation for herself. I would offer to escort her thither, and during her absence,
Jeeves! You're a fish-fed mastermind!
The smelling salts, my lord, if your lordship will excuse me.
Everything has gone according to plan, my lord. The lady assures me it will take her but a brief time to step into a dressing gown. I am to return in a moment and accompany her to the scene of the manifestation. I will leave this door open a few inches so that your lordship may be able to see us depart. I would advocate instant action, for I need scarcely remind your lordship that time is...
Of the essence? No, you certainly don't have to tell me that.
No, my lord. On the dressing table in Mrs. Spotsworth's room, I observed a small jewel case, which I have no doubt contains the pendant.
Right.
998, 999, 1000.
My lord. Huh? What? All is well, Jeeves. I extracted the pendant, and it now resides beneath my pillow. I shall pass it to Captain Bigger at dawn's early light.
Congratulations, my lord.
I say, Jeeves, what's that you've got?
I encountered Miss Wyvern in the corridor a few moments ago, my lord. She desired me to inform you she will be returning to her own home in the morning. And she was insistent that I give you this.
What is it?
Your ring, my lord.
Good morning, Father. You may as well know it. I am not going to marry Lord Rooster.
Yes, you are. It was in the Times. I saw it with my own eyes. The engagement is announced between...
I've broken off the engagement. I am never going to speak to Lord Rooster again.
Don't be an ass. Of course you are. I suppose you had one of these lover's tiffs.
It was not a lover's tiff. I broke it off because of the abominable way he has been behaving with Mrs. Spotsworth.
Spotsworth? What, the American woman you were telling me about?
The American trollop.
Trollop?
That's what I said.
Why do you call her that? Did you catch them, trolloping?
Yes, I did.
Good gracious.
It all seems to have started in Cannes some years ago. Apparently she and Lord Rooster used to swim together and go for long drives in the moonlight. And you know what that sort of thing leads to.
I do indeed. I remember when I was in Sidi Barani.
She arrived at the Abbey yesterday, and no sooner had she appeared than Bill was all over her, making love to her in the garden, dancing with her like a cat on hot bricks, and coming out of her room at 2 o'clock in the morning in mauve pyjamas.
What? Coming out of her room in mauve pyjamas?
Yes, bright mauve.
Mauve? God bless my soul. Wait a moment. Bustard! Bustard, I say! Bring me my horsewhip.
Colonel, sir. I'm sorry, sir, but...
What? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir, but... I'm sorry, sir, but your horsewhip's, like, gone.
Gone? What do you mean, gone? Gone where?
To the mender's, sir.
Mender's?
To be mended. It got cracked.
Cracked?
Yes, I was cracking it in the stable yard, sir, and it cracked. So I took it to the mender's.
What? Get out, you foul blot. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, Colonel. Sorry, Colonel. Sorry, sir.
Cracked, eh? I'll have to borrow young Rooster's. Infernally awkward calling on a fellow you're going to horsewhip and having to ask him for the loan of his horsewhip to do it with. Still, that's how it goes.
Well, the derby runs in less than an hour. We must decide how our wages should be placed.
What does the racing news say, Rory?
No, not a rot. There's nothing in sight to beat Taj Mahal.
Well, here's another hunch for you. Escalator.
Escalator?
Wasn't Harridge's the first store to have escalators?
By Jove, yes. The Oxford Street boys live it. I must look into this escalator.
I suppose you think we're crazy, Rosalinda.
Course not, my dear. Is it the derby that you're so interested in?
Just our silly little annual flutter. We don't bet high, have to watch the pennies.
Rigidly. I say, I was just thinking that the smart thing for me to have done would have been to stick to that pendant of yours I picked up last night and pawn it, thus raising a bit of... Yes, Uncle?
I didn't speak.
I thought you did.
No, just a hiccup.
Well, anyway, summing up, Taj Mahal, £2, escalator, £10 each way. But wait, is it not rash to commit oneself without consulting Jeeves?
Good thinking. Come on, Rory, let's confer with him at once.
Racing you, old girl.
Rosie, That pendant of yours, the one Rory was speaking of, I was admiring it last night.
It's nice, isn't it?
Beautiful. You didn't have it at Cannes, did you?
No, I hadn't met Mr. Spotsworth then. It was a present from him.
A present from Mr. Spotsworth?
It's too funny. I was talking to Captain Bigger about it last night. By the way, where is the captain? I haven't seen him all morning. Maybe he's hiding from me. I believe he's just a little jealous of you, Billiken.
Well, he certainly seems to have made himself scarce.
Anyway, I told him one of my husbands gave it to me, but I couldn't remember which. It was Mr. Spotsworth, of course. So silly of me to have forgotten.
Are you sure?
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder if you'd excuse me. I have to see Jeeves about something.
Well, ring for Jeeves.
No, I'll go and see him in his pantry. He keeps a fine port there with an especially vibrant nose.
So, Jeeves, what do you think of Taj Mahal for this afternoon's Beano and Epsom? I thought of slapping my £2 on its nose.
And Moak the Second, that's my fancy.
I see no objection to a small wager, sir. Nor on yours, m'lady. But it might be advisable, if funds are sufficient, to endeavour to save your stake by means of a bet each way on some other horse.
Rory thought of Escalator. I'm hesitating.
Has your ladyship considered the Irish horse Ballymore?
Oh, Jeeves, for heaven's sake. None of the nibs even mention it.
Very good, my lady. Would there be anything further?
One thing. What was all that Mrs. Spotsworth was saying at lunch about you and her bowling off together in the small hours to the ruined chapel?
Oh, yes, my lady. Mrs. Spotsworth desired me to escort her there. She was hoping to see the wraith of Lady Agatha.
Any luck?
No, milady.
She says Bill saw the old girl.
Yes, milady.
So that's why he's looking like a piece of cheese today. Must have scared it stiff.
Oh, I fancy, Sir Roderick, any resemblance between his lordship and a portion of cheese is occasioned more by his lordship's matrimonial plans having been cancelled than by any manifestation from the spirit world.
You don't mean Bill's engagement is off?
Yes, milady. Miss Wyvern handed me the ring in person to return to his lordship.
Poor old Bill. The heart bleeds.
I say, Jeeves, bung me some port.
Certainly.
Oh, Bill, old boy. We've just heard that Jill has returned you to store, correct?
Cheerio.
See, it is. Bad luck. But don't be too depressed. A bachelor's life is the only happy one, old man. When it comes to love, there's a lot to be said for the à la carte, as opposed to the table d'hôte.
Jeeves?
Milady?
What was the name of the woman who drove a spike into her husband's head?
I fancy your ladyship is thinking of the story of Jael, but she and the gentleman into whose head she drove the spike were not married, merely good friends.
Still, her ideas were basically sound.
It was generally considered so in her circle, milady.
Have you a medium-sized spike, Jeeves? No? I must look in at the ironmongers. Well, goodbye. Table d'hôte.
She's miffed. So only trying to cheer you up, Bill. I say, where can I get some flowers? Would there be flowers in the garden, Jeeves?
In some profusion, Sir Roderick.
Well, that's a thing you'll find it useful to remember, Bill, if ever you get married. When the gentler sex get miffed, flowers will bring them round every time. Tinkety-tonk.
Your lordship wished to see me about something?
Jeeves, I hardly know how to begin. By the way, have you an aspirin about you?
Certainly, my lord. I have just been taking one myself. Lord?
Thank you, Jeeves. Don't slam the lid.
No, my lord.
And now, Jeeves, to tell you all. You see, the pendant was never Bigger's for a moment. So you see, Jeeves, I have been played up and made a sucker of.
Most disturbing, my lord.
What are those things people get used as?
Cat's paws, my lord?
Yes. This blighted Bigger has used me as a cat's paw. I pinched the pendant, swallowing that whole story about it practically belonging to him, and he only wanted to borrow it for a few hours, and off he went to London with it, and I don't suppose we shall ever see him again. You wouldn't care to kick me, Jeeves?
No, my lord.
Well, there it is. I allowed myself to be used as a cat's paw, thus rendering myself liable to an extended sojourn in the cooler. Unless...
May I point out, my lord, that there is no likelihood of your becoming suspect of the theft of Mrs. Spotsworth's ornament. It has disappeared. Captain Bigger has disappeared. The authorities will automatically credit him with the crime.
Ah, but you've overlooked something, Jeeves.
My lord?
The honour of the roasters. Under my own roof, leaky but still a roof, I have swiped a valuable pendant from a guest. How am I to reimburse the Spotsworth?
My lord, I believe restitution can readily be made if the lady can be persuaded to purchase Roaster Abbey.
Great Scott, Jeeves! In the rush and swirl of recent events, I had forgotten all about selling the house, of course. That would fix up everything, wouldn't it?
Unquestionably, my lord. Might I suggest that your lordship now withdraw to the library and obtain material for a sales talk by skimming through the advertisements in Country Life? The language is extremely persuasive.
Yes, I know the sort of thing. I'll bone up.
Would it assist your lordship if I were to bring a small bottle of champagne to the library?
You think of everything, Jeeves.
Oh, hello, Jeeves.
Oh, good afternoon, miss. You will find his lordship in the library.
No, I won't. I haven't the slightest wish to speak to Lord Roaster. I want you to give him a message, though he doesn't deserve it.
Very good, miss.
Please warn him that my father is coming here to borrow his horsewhip to horsewhip him with.
And if his lordship should express curiosity as to the reason for Colonel Wyvern's annoyance?
You may say it's because I told my father about what happened last night, or at 2 o'clock in the morning, to be absolutely accurate. He'll understand.
At 2 o'clock this morning, miss. That would have been at about the hour when I was escorting Mrs. Spotsworth to the ruined chapel. The lady had expressed a wish to establish contact with the apparition of Lady Agatha, the wife of Sir Caradoc the Crusader. She is reputed to haunt the ruined chapel.
What? What did you say? Oh, Jeeves! Jeeves!
Permit me, miss. Drink this, miss.
Jeeves! This is a matter of life and death. At 2 o'clock this morning, I saw Lord Roaster coming out of Mrs. Spotsworth's room looking perfectly frightful in mauve pyjamas. Are you telling me that Mrs. Spotsworth was not there?
She was with me in the ruined chapel, miss.
Then what was Lord Roaster doing in her room?
Purloining the lady's pendant, miss.
Purloining Mrs. Spotsworth's pendant?
Yes, miss. Would it interest you to hear the inside history of his lordship's recent activities?
Yes, Jeeves, it would.
It was for love of you, miss, that his lordship became a silver ring bookmaker.
What?
And to conclude, miss, Captain Bigger has taken the pendant to London with the purpose of pawning it and investing the proceeds on the Irish horse Ballymore in the Derby. As regards his lordship's mauve pyjamas...
Thank you, Jeeves, but I must speak to him! Bill! Bill! Bill!
Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, Bill, Bill! Jeeves has told me everything!
What? When you say everything, did you mean everything?
Yes, my lord, I deemed it advisable.
I know all about Honest Patch Perkins and Captain Bigger and Whistler's mother and Mrs. Spotsworth and the pendant.
And you really mean, give me that champagne. You really mean that you don't recoil from me in horror?
Do I look as if I were recoiling from you in horror?
Well, no. But you might just as well, because I don't see how the dickens we're ever going to get married. I haven't a bean, and I've somehow got to pay Mrs. Spotsworth for her pendant. Noblesse oblige, if you follow my drift. So, if I don't sell her the house...
Of course you'll sell her the house.
Well, I'm all full of that country life stuff, but if she doesn't come soon, it will evaporate.
Excuse me, my lord. Mrs. Spotsworth and her ladyship are about to enter through the French window.
Ah, yes.
Good heavens. Jill, what's happening?
Oh, it's all right. There's been a change in the situation. Sweetheart still.
Well, that's fine. I've been showing Rosalind around the place.
Oh, with its avenues of historic oaks, its tumbling streams alive with trout and tench, and its breathtaking vistas lined with flowering shrubs. How did you like it?
It's wonderful. I can't understand how you can bring yourself to part with it, Billiken.
Am I going to part with it?
You certainly are. This is the house of my dreams. How much do you want for it? Lock, stock and barrel.
What? You've taken my breath away.
I'll tell you what let's do. Suppose I pay you a deposit of $2,000, and we can decide on the purchase price later.
You couldn't make it $3,000.
Sure. There's just one thing, though, before I sign on the dotted line. This place doesn't get damp, does it?
Get damp? Oh. Why, of course not.
You sure?
It's dry as a bone.
Well, that's swell, because damp is death to me. Fibrositis and sciatica.
Here you are, Moke, old girl. A floral tribute with comps of Arkham oil. There you are.
Thank you.
I say, Bill, it's starting to rain.
Hmm? What of it?
What of it? My dear old boy, you know what happens when it rains. Water through the roof, water through the walls, water, water everywhere. I was merely about to suggest that you'd better put buckets under the upstairs skylight.
What?
very damp house, this, Mrs. S. I often say that whereas in the summer months the river is at the bottom of the garden, in the winter months the garden is at the bottom of the river.
Excuse me, m'lady. Begging your pardon.
Yes, Ellen?
Could I speak to Mrs. Spotsworth?
Yes?
Madam, your pendant's been pinched.
What?
Eh?
Yes. I was laying out your clothes for the evening, madam, and I said to myself, you'd probably be wishing to wear the pendant again tonight. So I ventured to look in the little box, and it wasn't there, madam. It's been stolen.
But...
What do you mean it's been stolen? You probably didn't look properly.
It's gone, my lord.
You may have dropped it somewhere, Mrs. Spotsworth. Was the clasp loose?
Well, yes, the clasp was loose, but I distinctly remember putting it in its case last night.
Let's go up and have a thorough search.
We will. But the house, I'm afraid, very much afraid, the damp would kill me.
Go on, Ellen.
I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Rory, big mouth.
I say, did I drop a brick?
If I followed you about for a month, I'd have enough bricks to build a house.
About this pendant, anything I can do?
Yes, keep out of it. The derby will be starting in a few minutes. Go in there and get that television working.
Ah, righto. Leave it to me.
Jeeves, any suggestions?
Does it not seem likely, my lord, that in the event of Ballymore emerging victorious, the absent captain will carry out his original plan of redeeming the pendant, bringing it back, and affecting to discover it on the premises?
You think so?
I am convinced that if Ballymore wins, we shall see Captain Bigger again.
If Ballymore wins?
Precisely, my lord.
Then one's whole future hangs on whether it does.
Bill, I'm going to start praying.
Yes, do. Pray that Ballymore will run as he has never run before. Pray all over the house.
Well, Bill, there's no doubt it's gone. I'm so sorry, Rosalinda.
Thank you.
I've just phoned for the police.
What? You really think the thing's been stolen?
It's the only possible explanation.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry to have started all this trouble.
Nonsense, Rosalinda. All Bill wants is to see the crook caught and bunged into the cooler.
Well...
For a good long stretch, too, let's hope.
We mustn't be vindictive.
No, you're surely right. Justice, but not vengeance.
Well, one thing's certain. It's an inside job.
Oh? Do you think so?
Yes. And I've a pretty shrewd idea who the guilty party is.
Who?
Someone whose cup and saucer were rattling like castanets this morning at breakfast. Do you want me to name names?
Go ahead.
Captain Bigger.
What?
You weren't down, Rosalinda, or I'm sure you would have noticed it too. He was as nervous as a tree full of elephants.
Oh, no, no! Captain Bigger? That I can't and won't believe. If Captain Bigger were guilty, I should lose my faith in human nature, and that would be far worse than losing the pendant.
The pendant is gone, and he's gone. It adds up, don't you think? Oh, well, we shall soon know.
What makes you so sure of that?
Why, the jewel case, of course. The police will take it away and test it for fingerprints. What's the matter, Bill?
Nothing. Jeeves?
My lord?
Lady Carmoyle suggests that the miscreant might have forgotten to wear gloves, in which event the Bally jewel case would be covered with his fingerprints. That would be lucky, wouldn't it?
Extremely fortunate, my lord.
I'll bet he's wishing he could wipe them off.
Yes, my lord.
You might go and get the thing, so as to have it ready for the police when they arrive.
Very good, my lord.
Hold it by the edges, Jeeves. You don't want to disturb those fingerprints.
I will exercise the greatest care, my lord.
Oh, Jill.
Oh, Bill.
All right, everyone. Now, look here. Where's young Rooster? I'm going to... Hey, what the devil? What's going on, Jill?
Oh, hello, Father.
My goodness, Chief Constable. You have been quick. It's only minutes since I phoned.
Eh?
Have you brought your bloodhounds and magnifying glass?
What the dickens are you talking about?
Didn't you come in answer to my phone call, Colonel?
What phone call? I came to see Lord Rooster on a horsewhip, on a personal matter. What's all this about a phone call?
Mrs. Spotsworth's diamond pendant has been stolen, Father.
What?
This is Mrs. Spotsworth, Colonel Wyvern. Rosalinda, our Chief Constable.
Colonel?
Charmed, of course. So you had your pendant stolen, eh?
Hmm.
Bad show, bad show. Right, let's get some facts. An inside job, was it?
That's what we think.
Then I'll need a list of everybody in the house.
Ah, come in, Jeeves.
Thank you, my lord. If I may, I will lower it onto the table.
This is the case the pendant was in.
Glad to see you were careful about handling it, my man.
Oh, trust Jeeves for that.
And now for the names.
I say, chaps, the most appalling thing has happened.
Not something more.
This is the absolute frozen limit. The derby is just starting.
Rory.
And the television set's gone on the blink. I must have twiddled the wrong thing, me.
Rory, this is Colonel Wyvern, the Chief Constable.
How are you, Chief C? Do you know anything about television?
I do not.
Oh, God, the race will be over. What about the wireless?
In the corner, Sir Roderick.
Oh, thank heaven.
Who is this gentleman?
Such as he is, my husband, Sir Roderick Carmoil.
Oh. Sir Roderick, I am conducting an investigation.
But you'll hold it up to listen to the Derby.
When on duty, Sir Roderick, I allow nothing to interfere. I want a list.
Taj Mahal.
That's my boy.
Sweet William, Garniture, Moke the Second.
Good girl.
Voller. Quite an impressive list, isn't it?
There it
is. There's Gordon Richards on Moke the Second. Lots of people think this will be his lucky day.
I hope so.
I don't see Bellwether. Oh, yes, he's turning round now and walking back to the gate. They should be off in just a moment.
Where's Ballymore?
Sorry, no. Two more have turned round. One of them is being very temperamental.
Better not be mine.
It looks like Simple Simon.
Simple Simon?
No, it's the Irish outsider, Ballymore.
Oh, my beautiful Ballymore.
Really, I must ask...
It's Ballymore.
All right, I'll turn it down.
Yes, I'm afraid it's Ballymore.
Oops, sorry.
Right, they're in line now, all 26 of them. They're off.
Yes.
Oh, no. Ballymore is left at the post.
Oh, no.
Aureus, the Brusac pacemaker is in front. Taj Mahal is just behind.
Go on!
Like the escalator.
Ha, that's better. Now then, Lord Rosner, what servants have you here?
Just a moment, I have to listen to this. I'm turning it up again.
And now it's Vorian. Vorian, the French horse. Vorian is still in front, then Moke the Second.
Moke the Second's
mine. Mahal, Sweet William, Oratory, Garniture. Looks as though Gordon Richards might be going to win the Derby at
heart. Where's Ballymore?
And Moke the Second's moving up.
Come on, Moke!
They're down the hill and turning Tattenham Corner. Moke the Second is in front.
Yes!
Gordon up. Only 3.5
Gee, this is exciting, isn't it?
Oh, oh! Just a minute, there's a horse coming up on the outside.
Wait.
Like an express train.
Ooh.
I can't identify... Wait a minute, it's Ballymore.
Ballymore!
Yes!
Challenging the moat. Hear that crowd roaring.
Come on,
Ballymore!
No, Ballymore!
Make up your mind.
No, Gordon Richards.
Yes, for God's sake. Come on, Gordon!
Moto finish!
Moto finish!
First time in the history of the Derby.
I'll turn it down now.
Oh, well. What's a photo finish?
Well, that's Taj Mahal let me down. Why is it one can never pick a winner in this bally race?
The Moke didn't suggest a winner to you?
Eh? No. Why should it?
God bless you, Roderick Carmoil.
All right, then. All right, everybody. I would like to inspect the scene of the robbery.
I will take you there, Colonel. Follow me. Some of you listen in and see what that photo shows.
And I'll send the jewel case down to the station to find out what it shows.
I'll go and see if I really have damaged the television set. All I did was twiddle a thing at me. Damn dull Derby. Even if Moke the Second wins, the old girl's only got 10 bob on it at 8.
Jeeves, I've got to have a drink.
At your elbow, my lord.
Oh.
We must hear that result. Turn it up again, Bill. Let's hope Ballymore had sense enough to stick out his tongue.
Yes, right.
Literally hundreds of thousands of pounds hang on what that photograph decides.
Here it is. Here it
the
is.
The number should be going up at any moment.
Ballymore.
Yes, here it is. And it's Moke the Second.
Moke the Second.
Wins. Hard luck on Ballymore. He ran a wonderful race. If it hadn't been for that bad start, he would have won in a canter. His defeat saved the bookies a tremendous loss. A huge sum was bet on the Irish horse 10 minutes before starting time. Obviously one of those SP jobs, which are so...
Well, never mind. There's still champagne.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't realize there was somebody already It's you! Oh, I knew you would come. Monica said you wouldn't, but I knew.
I couldn't do it. I got to thinking of you, dear lady, and the chaps at the club, and I couldn't do it.
The club?
The old Anglo-Malay club in Kuala Lumpur. Yes, I thought of Tubby Frobisher. Would I ever be able to look him again in that one good eye of his? And then I thought that you'd trusted me because I was an Englishman. And I said to myself, Cuthbert Bigger, you're letting down the whole British Empire.
Did you take my pendant?
I took it, and I brought it back. Here it is. The idea was merely to borrow it for the day as security for a gamble. But I couldn't do it. It might have meant a fortune, but I couldn't do it.
Put it round my neck, Cuthbert.
You want me to? You don't mind if I touch you?
Put it round my neck.
And Zuri Mbinguni. I shall. There. Shall I tell you why I wanted a fortune? so that I might feel myself in a position to speak my love. Rosie, I love you. I loved you from that first moment we met in Kenya. All these years I've dreamed of you. And on this very seat last night, it was all I could do to keep myself from pouring out my heart.
Oh.
And I can speak now because we're parting forever. Soon I shall be wandering out into the sunset alone.
Jiminy Christmas, what do you want to wander out into any sunsets alone for?
I don't want to, dear lady. But it's the code. The code that says a poor man must not propose marriage to a rich woman. For if he does, he loses his self-respect and ceases to play with a straight bat.
I never heard such nonsense in my life. Who started all this applesauce?
I cannot say. But it is the rule that guides the lives of men like the Doc and Augustus Frobisher.
What? Augustus Frobisher? For Pete's sake! I thought there was something familiar about that name, and now you say Augustus. This Frobisher. Is he a fellow with a red face?
We all have red faces, East of Suez.
And a small, bristly mustache?
Small, bristly moustaches, too.
Is one of his eyes green and the other glass?
Good God! That's Tubby. You've met him.
Met him? You bet I met him. It was only a week before I left the States that I was singing Old Perfect Love at his wedding.
What? Hokey wahoo! Tubby is married?
He certainly is. And do you know who he's married to? Corda Rita Rockmatella, widow of the late Sigsby Rockmatella, the Sardine King, a woman with a darn sight more money than I've got myself. Now you see how much old Corda amounts to. When Augustus Frobisher met Cora and heard that she had 50 million smackers hidden away behind the brick in the fireplace, did he wander out into any sunset alone? No, sir. He bought a clean collar and a gardenia for his buttonhole and snapped into it.
You've shaken me, Rosie.
And you needed shaking, talking all that malarkey. You and your old code.
I can't take it in.
You will. Now just sit here and get used to the idea of walking down the aisle with me. And I'll go in and phone the London Times that a marriage will shortly take place between Cuthbert. Have you any other names, my precious lamb?
Gervaise. And it's Brabazon Bigger. With a hyphen.
Between Cuthbert Gervaise Brabazon Bigger and Rosalinda Bessemer Spotsworth. It's a pity it isn't Sir Cuthbert. Hey, say, what's wrong with buying you a knighthood? I wonder how much they cost these days. I have to ask Sir Roderick. I might be able to get it at Harridge's. Well, goodbye for the moment, my wonder man, and don't go wandering off into any old sunsets. Oh, Jeeves, do you know the telephone number of the Times?
No, madam, but I could ascertain. Ah.
You're looking at the pendant, I see. I don't wonder you're surprised. Captain Bigger found it just now in the grass by that rustic seat where we were sitting last night.
Has Captain Bigger returned?
He got back a few minutes ago. I want to announce my engagement to Captain Bigger.
Indeed, madam. May I wish you every happiness?
Thank you, Jeeves.
Shall I telephone the Times?
If you will.
Very good, madam. Might I venture to ask if you and Captain Bigger will be taking up your residence at the Abbey?
Oh, no, Jeeves. I wish I could buy it. I love the place. But it's damp. This English climate.
I wonder if I might make a suggestion, madam, which I think should be satisfactory to all parties.
What's that?
Buy the house, madam. Take it down stone by stone and ship it to California.
And put it up there? Why, what a brilliant idea.
Thank you, madam.
William Randolph Hearst used to do it, didn't he? I remember visiting at San Simeon once, and there was a whole French abbey lying on the grass near the gates. I'll do it, Jeeves. You've solved everything.
I say, where's Bill? The chief constable's asking for a magnifying glass.
Hello, Rosie.
Oh, Lord Roaster, just the man I wanted to see.
I'm sorry, I say, wait a minute. Your pendant.
I know.
So what's happened?
It was discovered in the garden by Mrs. Spotsworth's fiancé, Captain Bigger.
Fiancé?
What? So Bigger's back?
Yes, my lord.
And he found the pendant?
Yes, miss.
And he's engaged to Mrs. Spotsworth?
Yes, my lord. And Mrs. Spotsworth has decided to purchase the abbey.
What?
Yes, my lord, my lady.
I do believe in fairies.
Of course.
course you do, darling.
Yes, Billiken, I'm going to buy the Abbey and I'll write you a check momentarily. I'm taking the Abbey with me to America, Billiken. It was Jeeves' idea.
Oh, Bill. Though I don't know why I'm kissing you. I ought to be kissing Jeeves. Shall I kiss you, Jeeves?
No, miss.
Just think, Jeeves, you'll have to buy that fish slice after all.
It will be a pleasure and a privilege, miss.
Of course, Jeeves, you must never leave us. Wherever we go, whatever we do.
I am very sorry, my lord, but I fear I am compelled to hand in my notice.
Oh, Jeeves!
With the deepest regret, I need scarcely say. But Mr. Worcester needs me. I received a letter from him this morning.
Has he left that school of his, then?
Expelled, my lord.
Good heavens!
It is all most unfortunate. Mr. Worcester was awarded the prize for sock darning. Two pairs of his socks were actually exhibited on speech day. It was then discovered that he had used a crib, an old woman whom he smuggled into his study at night.
Poor old Bertie.
Yes, my lord. I gather from the tone of his communication that the scandal has affected him deeply. My place is at his side.
Dash it all. I can't fix it.
Rory, do you know what has happened?
Yes, old girl. I've bust the television set.
Mrs. Spotsworth is going to marry Captain Bigger, and she's buying the Abbey.
Oh? Well, as I was saying, I can't fix the bally thing. The only thing to do is telephone the Fountainhead. Give me a Knightsbridge 1234. Yes, I'll wait.
Where's my Rosie?
I'm here, Cuthbert, my darling.
Rosie Macupendersana.
Eh? Ah, she's just been telling us the news. Congratulations, Captain Bigger.
Asante, Patch Perkins. I'm obliged. Asante.
What?
I say, I've just remembered another one. Which is bigger, Captain Bigger or Mrs. Bigger? Mrs. Bigger, because she became bigger. Oh, hello. Harridges.
In the final part of Ring for Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse, Rory was played by Rufus Sewell, Monica by Joanne Whalley, Rosie by Glenn Headley, and Captain Bigger by Ian Ogilvie. Bill was played by Jamie Bamber, and Jeeves by Martin Jarvis. Jill Wyvern, Moira Quirk. Colonel Wyvern, Christopher Neem. Ellen, Daisy Hayden, and Bulstrode, Darren Richardson. The racing commentator was played by Matthew Wolfe. Ring for Jeeves was dramatised by Archie Scottney, directed by Rosalind Ayres, and is a Jarvis and Ayres production for BBC Radio 4.
The Academy Award-nominated writer Chris Fallon returns to BBC Radio 4 tomorrow morning with the second series of his mafia drama, Le Donne. In series one, Caterina discovered that her husband was actually a vicious Camorra boss. Both her sons were murdered, and Caterina herself was forced to kill a rival boss. Now she has to face the consequences of her actions.
I had lived for 20 years knowing next to nothing about my husband's business and not wanting to. So now I understood. I couldn't wash my hands of anything. I couldn't walk away.
Indira Varma and Anton Lesser star in Le Donne, Monday to Friday mornings at 10:45 and again in the evenings at 7:45, starting tomorrow.